No one knows what it's like to be the bad man.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going back to the line. Steve of Delafield, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Steve?
Yes, Matt, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. You know, earlier you were describing the poverty that you saw in Russia when you were there.
Right.
And you said that we don't have anything like that here. But, you know, I worked for the Wisconsin DNR when Scott Walker was governor. And I surveyed the Lake Michigan shoreline and the Milwaukee River and the Menominee River. You know, I saw there are so many homeless people down there that they live under. Last year they had an article in the paper where there's like I think it was over 100 of them lived under the Marquette Interchange Bridge. And right. This year they're going to build a park down there to chase them out. I saw them in the open trailer. They sleep in the open trailers by Miller Brewery on State Street. They're on sleeping bags on the ground by the confluence, by MMSD. That's where the Milwaukee and Menominee River converge. I saw them pushing shopping carts filled with aluminum cans up and down Canal Street, going to that recycling center. You know, people got guys down there begging me for food. And one of my friends, he belongs to a church group. He goes down there to feed the homeless down in Milwaukee. So they park their vehicles up on the top of the 27th Street Viaduct, and they come up. They walk up those, I don't know, it's like maybe 150 flights of stairs, and they come up for their food. My friend said he saw a woman down there come up off out of the, from under that bridge. She had like skin like wrinkled leather, you know, from being exposed to the elements all the time.
Yeah,
there's just there's so many homeless people down there, you know, and it's just in someone's business down there, the homeless crawl under bushes and stuff to sleep, you know, and they leave like you know, like maybe old clothing or something down there or whatever, or they put their possessions.
Yeah, no, they have little encampments. They have cardboard boxes. But Steve, I live in Milwaukee, and I know what you're talking about, and. You know, when I had talked about Russian poverty before, I did allude to the fact that we did have homeless. A big part of our homeless problem is mental illness. Many people, you know, there are a lot of programs in Milwaukee and statewide to take care of that. But if somebody is truly mentally ill, they'll frequently avoid it. And what you say has a lot of truth to it. I do not think that it is anywhere near as wide in scope, fortunately, as what I saw in Moscow and St. Petersburg. However, it's not acceptable. No, you're absolutely right. And these people, there are shelters, you know, there are shelters because Milwaukee, as between basically October and the end of April, you don't want to be living outdoors. You certainly don't want to be living outdoors in December, January, and February. And so there are shelters, but many people avoid them and they put on three overcoats. They have shopping carts. And they get behind cardboard things under the bridge. I'm familiar with what you're talking about, the 27th Street Viaduct, and how you handle the homeless problem in our country, which is frankly worse places like California cities where the weather's better. So mental illness is a big part of it. It's not the only part of it. We have people in Milwaukee. We have school kids who are homeless. School kids. How do you do your homework when you're homeless? How do you... What, you have a computer? What happened to it? Somebody stole it? You don't have a computer. You can't go online. A lot of these kids didn't get educated last year. So dealing with the homeless issue in our country is essential. But I'll tell you something. Enlightened capitalism, not socialism, but capitalism with a safety net, which is what we have in this country. We have Medicare. We have food stamps. We have Medicaid. We have Social Security. We have all sorts of government agencies that can help. The problem is people with severe mental illness avoid the help. That's a real problem. And how do you take care of that? And so you want a humane disposition of it, take these people into shelters. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But thank you very much, Steve. I agree with you that that problem exists. I agree that it exists in Milwaukee. I suspect there's a little bit of that elsewhere, probably in Madison and a lot of other cities. But having said that, we handle it as humanely as we can. But what you see in places like Russia, which is essentially a much more developed country than many in Asia and Africa, and they still have a terrible poverty problem. And then You go to Asia and Africa, and you go to some of these places in the Middle East, and it's really, really severe. India, my God. Anyway, thanks an awful lot for calling in. Excellent, excellent point that you raised. You know, we had a, there's a subject that I'm going to say right now that you're going to say, come on, Matt, you talked about that on your afternoon show, you know, a long time ago and all that. Yeah, I did. But here we have confirmation. They have just confirmed the Biden administration, and it has the data to show it. But Paul Manafort, Trump's campaign chairman and basically manager, and Rick Gates, one of his agents, the two of them met repeatedly with a guy named Konstantin Kilimnik, either in person or by other means. They were a pipeline to Russian spies in 2016, Paul Manafort and Rick Gates. And Paul Manafort, you may recall, got pardoned by Trump. He's released from prison. And he was the pipeline of Russian spies in the United States in 2016. And tip of the iceberg, they would meet with them during the campaign, and they'd say, here's internal polling data we show in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And they're normally blue states, but this time around, they can be flipped. It's going to be close. And here's the kind of messaging that if it comes from us, people will say, oh, it comes from us. And so there was intense messaging, social media and otherwise, in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania in 2016 that were all lies from the commie Ruskies. And they were in cahoots with Paul Manafort. Now, you may say, okay, but you know, is that ancient history? No, that's not ancient history, because the Ruskies interfered in 2020 also. They interfered in 2020. And remember that Mueller, the special counsel, didn't follow up on this. He said, well, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to look at that. I don't think there's enough there. It doesn't show collusion. Let me tell you something. Mueller took a dive. He was not a good guy. Mueller's a Republican. He did everything he could to minimize what went on with Trump. Everything he could. When he said, I don't think that there's enough here for me to convince a grand jury beyond a reasonable doubt. That's what the law enforcement, that's what the prosecutors in Kenosha, when the officer shoots Jacob Blake in the back, said, well, I don't think that I can convince a jury. That's bull. That is bull. The standard for prosecution is not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's essentially that it's clear evidence, but not necessarily beyond a reasonable doubt. Preponderance of the evidence. Reasonable doubt is to get the conviction. Most reputable prosecutors say, okay, I'm going to require beyond a reasonable doubt even to bring a charge. And I think that's great. But that's very subjective. Guy that wants to take a dive, guy that wants to, you know, politically not prosecute something goes, well, I don't think I could win the case, so I'm not going to bring it. Give me a break. Give me a break. What? I'm going into a baseball game. I don't think I can hit this pitcher, so I'm not even going to try. Come on. Come on. Mueller took a dive. Comey took a dive. He's the guy that went on the air and goes, I'm investigating Hillary Clinton right before the campaign, right before the election. He was also investigating Trump for being with commie spies, Russian spies. He didn't say that. He tilted the election. Mueller and Comey will go down in history as two traitors to the United States. And Mueller took a dive. He took a dive. And then when his report finally came out, Crooked William Barr lied about it. And Mueller didn't even correct him publicly. Mueller goes, well, I'm a little uncomfortable. It was all fake. And now the data's come out. Paul Manafort and Rick Gates, the pipeline to Russian spies in 2016. It's one reason why Trump went easy on Russia and why Russia right now is invading Ukraine. It's bad news. We're going to the lines. Lines are alive. We're going to go in order. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, you already hit on it. I was going to bring up William Barr. You know, there may have been some awful damning things in that report, but we'll never know because he got his hands on it, held on to it for, what, about 5 weeks, and then
right.
Parsed it down to whatever he wanted it to be, and then here you go. So, you know, yeah, I'm with you on Mueller, but I also think that William Barr played a huge part in it.
Right. Crooked William Barr is the guy, Dick. Crooked William Barr lied so often and misrepresented so many things that he perverted, frankly, the investigation into Russia. And he will go down in history as having betrayed the United States. Dick, thanks a lot for calling in. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Hey, Matt, I love your topic about Bill Barr and Comey and Mueller. Here's my point of view. They discredit Comey because he was getting too close. They discredited Mueller because he was almost stepping on their toes. They discredit the CIA, the Pentagon, the chiefs of staff, the whole country. I can line them up, all the people, and including medical science and everything. And if most people can't see that, we have to go out there and start educating people, or I do. I have a motto, don't alienate, educate. To what you said about Barr is just spot on. This has to be at least reviewed. But you said something the other day that lent credence to it, that you mentioned a day or two ago about a public independent counsel trying the people for the insurrection. The people of the insurrection and the people that support them, all this right-wing news, no wonder they're discredited. No wonder Coca-Cola, and they hate this cancel culture. They loved it when they could be in charge of it. But now when it's getting canceled to get them, they get very uncomfortable. But you have a wonderful point about how Barr treated, or the Trump administration treated our FBI, our CIA, our Pentagon, our Joint Chiefs, all of that. And if you build on that case, I don't see how you can lose. Thanks again for what you do. You do a wonderful job.
Thank you very much, Bill. Good comments. We're going to a break. I'll get a little bit of response in now and a little more afterwards. But you're absolutely right. Here, when you have a president who attacks the FBI, CIA, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Pentagon, national health experts, anybody who gets in his way, anybody should be able to open their eyes and say, there's something wrong here. Either Trump is crooked or our entire government that we've depended on is crooked, and it certainly isn't the entire government. Bill, thanks for calling. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
To be the sad man behind blue eyes.
Welcome back to the Matt Flynn Direct Show on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Alluded to earlier in national news, tragedy in Indianapolis. 8 people dead, several wounded. There's a shooter. He's dead too. They don't know the background, but it's getting increasingly deadening virtually every day, certainly several times a week. There's been a mass shooting somewhere. And I'll tell you something. What a lot of it comes down to in the workplace nowadays, there's one that happened here in Wisconsin last year. Guy's about to be terminated. He shows up at the termination meeting with a gun. Somebody, he's bullied at work and so on, and they have bad HR and they don't address that right away. And suddenly he decides, well, I'm going to take my own life and other people are going to come with me. That thinking has got to change. The leadership of division and violence has got to be removed from this country. There's an idea about Afghanistan that I find intriguing, and I want to raise it just to get it out there. Biden is about to leave Afghanistan no later, stop the war, and no later than September 11. Many people in Afghanistan don't want us to leave because they have a defective, violent culture with the Taliban, and Taliban will take over the country. They will murder women if they try to go to school. And it'll be a Stone Age culture, and it's wrong. On the other hand, we don't want to commit our troops there forever. We've lost 2,500 people in that, you know, those are people, troops with husbands, wives, kids, parents, and they no longer are with us because they were in Afghanistan, and that's not right either. China secretly wants us to stay in Afghanistan, because then China doesn't have to deal with it and can attack us for being in Afghanistan. However, if we leave, China can't possibly put up with an Afghanistan that's contrary to its interests. So here is the proposal that's been floated, and I find it fascinating and did not hear about it anywhere else. Afghanistan has one of the highest troves of rare earth metals in the world. China has a huge store of rare earth metals, which they sell to us. We absolutely need them in lithium batteries, computer chips. They're essential to a lot of our defense technology, a lot of other things. And we have rare earth metals in the United States, but not enough. Not enough. China can cut us off. You know, if they try to go into Taiwan and we stop them and they want to cut us off, they have to be careful, because in my view, then we would cut off any visas into this country for anybody from mainland China, including immigration and tourism and students. And they would be isolated in Asia, where they're not particularly liked elsewhere, and they crave getting into the West. But why do we have to get there? Why do we have to get there? They have the Belt and Road Initiative, where they're investing a lot of money in Pakistan and a lot of other, $64 billion in Pakistan alone. In Africa, one of the problems for them in those countries is they then basically cheat the people that take their money, develop what they're going to develop, call the debt in, and they're very bad creditors to have. However, the proposal is there are so many rare earth elements in Afghanistan. They're not doing anything with them because they don't have any technology. What if we were to keep a skeleton force there sufficient to defend itself and enter into an agreement, a contractual agreement with the Afghan government while it's still in existence before the Taliban took over, that gives us the rights to mine it and harvest the rare earth metals in return for significant compensation of the Afghan government, which they can use for different services. For one thing, to set up a normal country, to set up an educational system, university, and so on, and come kicking and screaming into the 21st century. And if the Taliban is on the outskirts of this, have the Afghan army take the brunt of it. Problem is, the Afghan army has traitors in it who shot our own people. That's got to be dealt with. They can't have access to our troops. And then in a rare case, we use missiles and ordnance to keep them out. That is an intriguing concept. It's an intriguing concept. One of the odd things about that concept is that Turkey, which has given us a lot of grief in Syria, and Turkey, which is getting a little too cozy with the Russians, buying their missile defense system, even though they're in NATO, we don't really trust them. But Turkey has a lot of influence. Turkey is not only a Sunni Muslim country, but it's also the seat of the Ottoman Empire, the original invaders of Europe and elsewhere in the Middle East. They have some cachet in those other areas of the world. Pakistan has a lot of influence over the Taliban, and Turkey has some influence over Pakistan. What if we just solve this with money, with opportunity, with growth, with business? What if we did that? What if we did that? You know, you're going to have people get ideological religiously and murder people over religion. And a lot of these areas in these jihadist countries do that. But cash is king. Economic development is king. Jobs are king. If somebody realizes to make money, I don't have to raise opium poppies anymore, which is basically all they do. You know what I can do? I can work in the rare earth metal mine. Make a good wage. That money is going to go, big chunk of it, to the Afghan government. There'll be some policing of it. They don't steal it. They have a tendency to steal things, but no. It'll go to education for girls and boys. How about a university? That would be really nice. How about getting away from tribalism and religious hatred and sectarian warfare? And when you have this marginalized Taliban on the outskirts of that, how about going with them that, you can be part of this if you want to be peaceful about it, but you're Afghan citizens. And if you get violent, frankly, the Afghan army is simply not going to tolerate that. And the American army isn't, and the American Air Force and our technology and drones. And you have a choice. You can be constantly attacked and bombarded and kept out, or you can be part of the growth. I don't know. I don't think it's as long a shot as you think it might be. I do not think it's as long a shot as you think it might be. Right now, they have no money, no action, no growth, no nothing. The only thing they have is their religion. And murdering people of any other religion. They murder Christians. They murder, Shiite Muslims they murder because they're Sunni Muslims. They murder anybody who isn't doctrinaire and hardcore. Well, what if they had an opportunity to make some money? What if they had an opportunity to, there's a mine and they have something that we need and only China apparently has it in the same amounts. And it's just a blessing to them that it happened to be in their ground. What if we approach this in a business sense, in the sense that we will share the proceeds with the Afghan government, let them start building a modern country, get out of the Stone Age, use their army to defend against the Taliban. But at some point, people out in Taliban country are going to go, well, you know, it'd be really nice. There's a thing called running water. There's a thing called electricity. There's a thing called education. Maybe I don't need to kill somebody who's a different religion. And, maybe some of our people work in the rare earth metal mines and get a wage and get some stability. Without that, they are nothing more than people riding around basically in a barren landscape, only an ideology, only religion to comfort them, and only discrimination against other people. Let's solve it with money. Let's solve it with growth. Just an idea, but I like the idea. We're going to the end of the show. A lot of great programming today. Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Devil's Advocate, Diamond Crute, Earl Ingram, Jeff Santos, Busted Pencils on Tuesday. Saturday, Ask the Builder with Al Bachman, Sharp Elbows. Let's Get Local. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. A must listen to. Max Inc. Radio. Coming to the end of Matt Flynn Direct today. Have a good weekend. Matt Flynn Direct is back on Monday, same time, same place. Signing off for now.